himself was broken long before the sky would open. Forsaken, almost human, he sank beneath your wisdom like a stone.
Songs of Leonard Cohen and
the classic
Suzanne. This is Radio Luxembourg, and about 7 days ago, Luxembourg in London was fortunate enough to have Leonard Cohen drop by for a chat with 208's Duncan Johnson. Duncan, wherever you may be, take it away.
What made Leonard Cohen want to sing?
That's a good one.
How old were you when you started
when
to sing?
When I first sang? I don't think I ever had any... I think everybody sings and grows up singing. But you mean to make a record and start singing professionally and that sort of thing?
Yes, so because you're primarily a poet or a writer.
Well, I do a lot of writing, but I've worked with music for a long time, and I think I started as a collector of folk songs. I was interested in folklore and folk songs, and I always played one or two musical instruments, piano and clarinet, and I learned guitar and started doing a bit of research into folk songs because I liked them. I saw them as very, very close to the kind of work I was doing, which is very simple kind of lyric writing. So it was natural just to pick up a guitar and start singing them. Then I got involved with a barn dance group called the Buckskin Boys in Montreal in around 1953, and I was playing a lot of barn dances around town, outside of town. Then I kind of put the guitar away for a while and wrote a few books, and while I was writing the last book in Greece, I was listening to a lot of music, a lot of country western music, and I thought I would close down the book writing for a while and go down to Nashville and maybe make a record there. And on the way down, I got ambushed in New York by the folk singers. I hadn't known that there was a great explosion of folk music at the time in New York. That was around 64. And I sort of hung out there for a while and wrote some songs.
Did you attempt to write poems first and then songs?
Or did they come as songs?
They seem to come as songs with a melody and what it is.
Thank you.
Did your childhood environment help to influence what you write and what you still do write?
Well, my mother was always singing around the house. I hate to give any sort of dignity to my singing, you know, I just croak them out. But my mother has a good voice. Yeah. She used to go around the house singing Russian songs a lot. I didn't grow up in any kind of puritanical atmosphere where singing was forbidden. Everybody hummed a tune here and there. So it seemed perfectly natural.
Was it part of a good family life?
Yeah, okay. I have no complaints about my family.
Did you have any trouble with the French people in Montreal?
It's not a matter of trouble. I grew up in the English minority, which at that time was very isolated from the French majority. We suspected we were the majority and they were the minority. It was that insulated. And they, in our French education, they pretty well ensured that we would never be able to speak the language so as to further guarantee the isolation of the two communities. But that's all gone now. It's clearly a French city now.
Back about 20 years ago, there was Jacques Chirac. Did you read any of his writing?
Well, I met him before I read his writing. I bumped into him in New York in the early 60s. He was hanging out with Ginsberg at that time. And I used to bump into them now and then, and occasional.
But he was from much the same sort of linguistic area as you, wasn't he?
Well, I think he was born in Lowell, Massachusetts, which was where there was a large French-Canadian segment.
Did any of his type of writing appeal to you?
I found his writing very appealing, as I found his person and personality very appealing. He was certainly a great writer and a terrific person.
During the 50s, he was pretty much of a cult with the beatniks or whatever they could be called in those days.
I guess we were called beatniks in those days, yeah.
For the anti-Korean War as opposed to the anti-Vietnam War.
Well, I don't think that the what they called beatniks, and previously, at least in my city, they called bohemians, became bohemian, beatnik, hip, hippie, that sort of genesis. But although there was a pacifist quality to the beatnik life, it didn't have the same kind of emphasis on the anti-war movement like for instance, what happened later in the so-called hippie phenomenon. In those days, it was more an anti-consumer situation. People just didn't want to identify with the consumer society around them, so that they wore simple clothes and they lived more. They tried to live more simply, and it was. I don't think the alienation was so deep because the movement wasn't so widespread. A few people who just didn't want to participate in the general buying community.
You've become something of a cult personality. Do you think that's right? Or how do you feel that you yourself are influencing people?
Well, I think one's influence waxes and wanes. If you're going to keep on working and keep on producing things for people, there is, I suppose, a steady and loyal audience that you will find, but outside of that inner circle of listeners or readers, you will attract or turn off larger numbers of people who come or leave according to what the particular thing is that you've produced at the moment. There may be a record that a lot of people like, so your influence will tend to spread for a moment or two, and then you may produce something that isn't as popular and it will wane. But I think if you keep on writing or keep on working, there'll be a kind of steady center. And the fringes will grow and decrease.
We swore to each other that our love would surely last. You kept right on loving. I went on a fast. Now I am too thin. And your love is too bad. But I know from your eyes, and I know from your pretty little smile, that tonight will be fine, will be fine, will be fine, will be fine. Boy,
got one friend, and I listen all night for your step on the stairs. But I know from your eyes, and I know from your big old eyes, that tonight, tonight will be fine, will be fine, will be fine, will be fine. If I've got to remember that fine memory, and I know from your eyes, and I know from your pretty little smile, that tonight, tonight will be fine, will be fine, will be fine, will be fine.
Cohen tonight will be fine from the LP Live Songs. On Radio Luxembourg, it's 7 minutes before 2 o'clock.
New from K-Tel, 22 electrifying hits. Alvin Startup. Charlie Rich.
The most beautiful girl in the world.
Steelers Wheel.
Doesn't make you stop.
Cliff Richard.
Take me high, love. Take me high.
Klaus, Billy Paul, Blue Mink, Nazareth, and many more original stars on K-Tel's 22 electrifying hits. At most department stores and record shops, also on cassette and cartridge.
This morning at RTL in Sound 74, words and music by Leonard Cohen.
Has your writing, in as much as your outlook on life, changed much?
Well, I suppose my viewpoints have changed over the past 10 years. I don't, just from ordinary living experience.
It hasn't altered from your success, or the financial rewards that success has brought you?
Well, I've noticed that whatever financial rewards
your work brings you generally tends to lower your standard of living rather than raise it. I know that before I made any money out of writing or music, I was living extremely well on a Greek island in a beautiful white house with a lot of sunshine and swimming every day. And that as my work found more and more acceptance, and presumably my bank account swelled, I found myself living in hotel rooms and going through traffic from one place to another. And generally the quality of life deteriorated quite considerably.
There are obviously a lot of pressures on your time and demands from various people on your time. Does that irritate you at times?
No, actually, I have heard a lot of stories of people in this racket that, you know, collapse under the kind of pressures that the industry creates, but I've never been... I don't think that my position is that grand to invite really a huge pressure. I have a modest kind of career in that world, and the pressures are kind of modest. Now and then, when I go into the marketplace, I have to do the work that that the game requires. But most of the thing is very, very low-key. I think the scenery is very, very nice. I've never had my arm twisted.
Listening to your album, Live Songs, it sounds that the audience are very involved emotionally. And you were singing at times more like a country gospel singer. Do you do that intentionally, or is that just something that builds up while you're on stage?
Well, I do... I think the nature of the work is highly emotional, and
that's just my own nature.
But I think the cut you're referring to is that long cut, Please Don't Pass Me By, which I had a lot of second thoughts about including.
I wasn't certain to include it,
and I'm not really certain whether I should have included it. I think it goes on too long, and I don't think the intention is maintained.
There's another track on there. It sounds sort of country gospel.
I think that
in as much as the emotional effect it has on it.
I think that was the cut out Tonight Will Be Fine, which we did for Isle of Wight,
where everybody was very, very loose.
I think everybody had gone to sleep, and we were supposed to go on at 12, but there was some difficulties, and we didn't go on until about 4 in the morning, and everybody had gone to sleep, and they woke us up for the performance. So we all got on stage, and in various states of consciousness, and I think the cut reflects that.
Comme l'oiseau sur la branche, comme l'ivrogne dans la cour de la nuit, j'ai cherché ma liberté.
Nine or ten, which was after my father died, I remember
writing a message and sewing it up into one of his old bow ties and burying it in the garden. I think that was the first solemn act of writing that I ever performed.
Many singers have recorded your songs, and a lot of your songs. Have any of it's done added something to the song?
Well, I feel that most singers who have careers and can actually make a living that way sing in a more accomplished way than I do. And almost everybody who's treated one of my songs, I feel, has brought something that I brought to it, that I couldn't bring to it. For instance, when I hear Joe Cocker do Bird on a Wire, you know, I just stand back amazed because I could never handle a song that way. I just don't have any of the equipment for it. But I'd love to hear it done that way.
You try to
Joe Cocker and his rendition of Canada's Leonard Cohen, composition Bird on the Wire. On Radio Luxembourg, it's 5 minutes after 2 o'clock, and a Leonard Cohen special on the RTL and Sound 74 program. For more information behind most of the music you hear nightly on Luxembourg, that happens between 7:45 and 3 o'clock most evenings, for all of you in the UK, then read Melody Maker. And inside the current edition, Greg Lake, Georgia Fame, Leo Sayer, Johnny Ray, Stevie Wonder, and the Rubettes. Together, not as a supergroup on stage anywhere at this festival, but together on the pages of Melody Maker. Available at your newsagent later today.
K-Tel presents Superman 24, written by my brother, the Super of Joe, Joe Simon. The Icy Brothers.
Robin Gale.
Gladys Knight. Curtis Mayfield.
Barry White.
Superbad LP, Brother is Bad, Sisters is Really Out of Sight, only $2.25, available at most department stores and record shops.
This is a special edition of RTL in Sound 74, words and music from Canada's Leonard Cohen.
And speaking of Bird on the Wire, the film that they've done on the same channel, is that a documentary about you?
Well, it's not so much about me, although I figure prominently in it because it's... It was a tour I did, but it is a study of a tour in across Europe, and I think it's not bad for a tour film. I myself am not particularly partial to tour films. I think they tend to be a little dull, but this one, although it has its dull moments, it has some quality that people seem to find appealing.
Do you think it portrays you as you are? Or do you look like somebody else in the film?
All too much like I really am.
What are the duller aspects of the film?
What about records with you?
Well, I'm in the midst of recording right now.
In New York City. Got a bunch of new songs.
Is it going to be the same style with Bob Johnson, the producer?
I hope Bob will listen to these tapes and give advice on them some later date, but I'm working in the studio alone right now.
What kind of music will it be? Will it carry on, or will it be the country influence, or the...
Well, I think some of the songs will relate back to previous records, but I think for some reason or other that a kind of newer and lighter and more sophisticated sound has crept into the music. Well, partly due to the work of a musician I've been working with by the name of John Lissauer, who's a very, very brilliant arranger and musician.
Making written up songs for an album.
Yeah, I've got more than enough for an album.
Is there any one singer that you would like to write a song for?
Well, often when I hear singers, I wish
I could write for them.
But I write so slowly that
I never get around to doing it, you know.
But often when I hear a man or a woman's voice on the radio, I think there's some quality in that voice that is not really being expressed in that particular song.
If I could write a song that really expressed that person's life, but I never do that. I'm trying to do that for myself.
What about books? I've blackened a few pages of a novel. Maybe
I could get around to finishing it.
Some people have described you as a messenger of despair with some of the songs.
Yes, you might.
Do you think that's right? Are your songs rather despairing? I don't know if that's... I know I certainly been accused of that. People have accused me of being the all-time bummer of the generation, but... I don't know. Perhaps I've just been exposed to a different tradition of music where the lament is understood. If you take an emotion that we all... emotions that we all experience and you articulate them and give them a form... it changes the emotion. That's what a lament is for. A lament is not designed to make anybody feel worse. It's designed to make to bring people closer, and emotions and evidently bring them more, make them more together. And
I think that is the effect
of some of my songs. That some fail, some are just bad, and bring it down because they're not accomplished in terms of the art or the delivery. But some songs that are called sad, they are sad. But I think the effect of a sad song is not to depress, but to bring you closer to the emotion and make you feel better. Although it's not uplifting in the sense that it's like keep a step up a lip or anything like that. But it does have, for me, when I listen to a so-called sad song, it has a healing quality. I prefer it if my songs had a healing quality. Some of them are depressing, but they're not depressing because of the song. It's depressing because of the absence of the song or the lack of craft.
Are some of them cynical? Are they romantic?
Well, I think I can't remember all the songs now, but when I think about over my work, the writing and the songs, I think I have adopted a cynical position now and then, just put whatever was necessary in the work. But I mean, the songs were not designed cynically. If that's I don't think that's a good name.
They weren't designed to put anything over on anybody from that point of view.
But I think some of them have a cynical position in them.
Would you consider yourself a romantic?
Well, I certainly indulge myself from time to time, sure.
Greek gardens must be romantic.
What does money mean to you?
Well, as anybody who has responsibilities and dependents and mouths to feed, the answer is clear. It's just really a means of keeping the thing going. As I say, the more money I've had, the lower my standard of living seems to have become. But at this point, you know, when there are babies and wives around, you've got to have some money.
Where do you live now?
Montreal.
Do you think that the world's getting better as a place to live in?
I have no idea. I think people are going through a very confused and in some cases agonizing period. I have no idea what the general state of the world is, because I don't have the viewpoint of thousands of years. I don't know what mankind has really felt over the ages. It's very hard to know. I know from my friends and from acquaintances and people I talk to that there is definitely a deterioration of purpose. People don't seem to know why they're doing the things they're doing, and this causes a great deal of unhappiness. So that I do know, and it is difficult to discover purpose.
What are you doing in the near future then?
That's going to affect your life and everyone around you.
Well, I have very, old traditional and conservative viewpoints on this matter of what, you know, what can be done to make a person feel better. I think men and women need each other. I think that women, by and large, are happier with children than without. I think that men, by and large, are happier with a woman in their lives and vice versa than without. I think people are happier with work than they are with meaningless leisure. So that, keeping your relationships clean and keeping your work going.
Leonard Cohen, thanks very much for coming in the studio.
Thank you.
All the sisters of mercy, they